The world has written a narrative of motherhood that's narrow and limiting. But that's not how motherhood was designed to be. We don't have to accept that narrative or stay in that confined space. As Christian mothers, we have the freedom to create a beautiful, fulfilling, and inspiring life for ourselves and for our families. We can live a life of purpose and vision in the midst of the confusion around us. I want you to move from being unsure to being confident as a mom. I want to see you let go of the overwhelm and guilt and embrace the freedom we have in Christ. Let's learn how to enjoy the life and the family we've been given. Let's create homes where faith can grow and hearts can be shaped for the kingdom. I'm Audrey McCracken, and welcome to Grace for My Home. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Grace for My Home. I am glad to be back here with you guys this week. Really looking forward to sharing with you. And I wanted to give you a little update on what's going on around here. I am working on a coffee shop. Not in a coffee shop, not yet, but working on one. Our church, we are opening a coffee shop for the city near where we live, and we're very excited about it. And as time grows near, as it gets closer and closer to opening date, it's really exciting, but it is a lot of work. Now, I'm not doing it by myself. I have a group of people who are helping me, so it's definitely a team effort, and I am learning so much, and I keep thinking about, you know, the things that I've heard and read about the brain and how important it is that we never stop learning. And I'm going to tell you, for a long time, I will always have something with this coffee shop to be learning because it is so much. You know, isn't it like that with many things? We get into it and we don't realize how much it is till we get into it. And that's how it's been for me. And I you don't know what you don't know. So it has been fun. And I'm so excited about it opening. And I'll probably post some photos on my Facebook and my Instagram in a couple weeks, just giving you a little look inside because we're very excited about it. I'm going to try and put some more personal things out there on Facebook because some of you guys have reached out to me and I just want to give you a little peek into our life. But that's also hard when you have kids and you want to give them some sense of privacy. But today I wanted to talk with you a little bit about some of the things that we can use in our work as moms. It's work. Being a mom is work. And it's hard work, but it's also heart work, which makes it even harder because it pulls on our hearts and it does a lot in us. I've noticed, you know, God has, as I have tried to raise my children, He has been raising me. As I have tried to teach them, He is always teaching me. And that's just how it works, right? You know, you think you're doing the teaching. You think you're the one who is trying to bestow on these little ones what you know, but you get into it and realize that there's not a whole lot that you do know, that, you know, you're learning as you go. But I was thinking this week, I was reading with my son Caleb because I still homeschool him and we were reading books, some books that, you know, I'm on the third time reading because he's my third student. And they are so inspiring to me. And I thought, what a wonderful job I have that I get to continually read inspiring books to my children. And I get the benefit of that too because they inspire me. And I wanted to talk with you today about the power of a story. Now, stories are very powerful. And who can listen to part of a story and not finish it? You know, that is so aggravating when somebody starts telling you a story and, you know, they get distracted or you have to stop for some reason and you don't hear the end of the story. And, you know, have you ever done that? Have you ever, you know, watched something and for some reason it cut off? Or, you know, somebody turned the channel and it's like, I've got to know the resolution. I got to know what happened. And that's the power of a story. It captures our imagination and it pulls us in. At least good stories do that. They hook us, and we've got to know. It's like a brain loop, right? We've got to finish that loop. We got to know what happened. We got to know how things turned out. And stories are very helpful tools for us as moms. And, you know, as a young mom, what my heart's desire was and still is to raise my children in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, in a way that's pleasing to Jesus, and to inspire them, to show them that serving God isn't just something that we have to do, but it's something that we get to do, that serving Him is the best life that you could ever live. And sometimes we as moms, the only way we know to do that is to tell them that, you know, to tell them these things. I wanted to teach my children what God's word says so they would know, so that when they get out and they're around other people and people say crazy things about what God is and what He says, that, you know, He's not like that and He didn't say that. So I want them to know this is what the Bible really says. This is the truth. This is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want them to know for themselves when they leave my home that this is what God is like, that this is what the Bible says, that this is truth. So, you know, that was one of my goals. And so I've tried to do that. But sometimes we as mamas, we can be so focused and we can be so adamant that they get it, that we start moralizing things all the time. And it's like we're always in that teacher mode. You know what I mean? It's always like right and wrong, and, you know, and everything is a lesson. And I don't like being around people like that, where I don't feel like I can just be myself, that they're always, you know, criticizing or judging or trying to teach me something. I don't like being around people like that, because I feel like I'm always being, I feel like I'm always being judged. I feel like I'm always being observed, and I can't just relax. And I didn't want to raise my children in that atmosphere, though I know I did sometimes. I could feel that I was. And I didn't want them to think, you know, I can only rest when mama's not around, or I can't rest when we talk about God, because it's always uptight. I didn't want them to see that God that way. You know, there is no instructor manual on this, that nobody comes in your home when you have kids and says, this is how you do it. And so we learn these things as we go. We kind of stumble into them. You know, we hear people say, try this, and we try that, and maybe it works for us and maybe it doesn't. But we learn wisdom in all of that. And so what I'm sharing with you today are some of the nuggets that I picked up along the way. I want you to know that I don't have a formula. I wish I did. You know, if I had a formula and I said, hey, if you do this, this, and this, then your kids will turn out exactly the way you want them to, then I would be a millionaire, because I could sell that. And some people try to do that. But I've been doing it long enough to know that there is no formula, and that what works for one child and what works for one home is not going to work for the other. So I can't. You know, I remember years ago when I was, you know, I was reading the books and I was, you know, praying and I was trying to figure this thing out, because I was going to be the best mom in the world. I remember the Lord speaking to me one day in prayer, you know, as I was praying and I was hitting a wall. There was just some things I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle them. And I remember the Lord just speaking softly to my heart. And I believe it was God, because it just brought peace, you know, to my mind and my heart. And it was like, Audrey, you don't have to be an expert on children. Just be an expert on your children. And I thought, that is so good. You know, I don't have to figure out everything. I just need to learn the hearts and minds and ways of my own children. And then I'll have a lot better success than trying to understand it all. And so I encourage you to do that. Learn your children. Learn their ways. Learn what makes them tick. And it will take you a lot further than trying to figure out everything. But for us, I learned that if I could package the things that I wanted to share with them, the qualities that I wanted to instill in them, if I could package that in a story, a really good story, then it had a lot better effect than me constantly saying, this is good, this is bad, do this, don't do that. Because they become tone deaf to that kind of teaching constantly. Now, I'm not against teaching. I'm a teacher by nature. I have taught my kids explicitly, you know, the things that I felt like were in the Word that they needed to know. And I still do that. But I have also found the power of a good story in opening up the imagination and the heart of my children for the things that I'm trying to teach them. And it is powerful, and it takes the pressure off of you to make them understand, because a good story, it grabs you and it helps you to see truth in a new light, in a light that words alone, you know, me just telling you the rules, you know, these are the rules, A, B, C, and D. Well, that doesn't capture the imagination. It's needed. They need to know the rules. But we can take these stories that have been passed down for generations, or brand new stories that are new and fresh, and we can use those to show our children truth and to help them want to become that person or not want to become that person. And what I mean, let me give you a quick example. One of my sons, he is really into fitness and he's into sports. And that's just something that he loves. He is into weightlifting. He's, you know, he does football and soccer and all this stuff. Now, I've not told him that. I am not a sports person. And his father, I mean, he likes sports, but we've never put that on him. That's just something that he loves. But he has had his ups and downs. You know, he's like any teenage kid. You know, a win, you're on top of the world. A loss, the world is coming to an end. And a couple weeks ago, actually, it was when I was away traveling in Texas, my boys had a Rocky marathon, and they had never seen all of the Rocky movies. And so them and my husband, they had a boys' weekend, and they watched several of the Rocky movies in succession. And I called home, and they were on number two, and then they were on number four, and then, you know. And since then, my son, the one who loves sports, there's one particular Rocky, and I can't call the name because I don't even remember them all, but he has watched that movie so many times. And I asked him the other week, honey, why do you keep watching this? You know, why aren't you ready to move on to something else? And he said, Mama, there's something about that movie. He said, he's on top of the world. He said, and then he's not. And those feelings, I understand those feelings. He said, until I watched this movie, I didn't know that I'm not the only one to ever feel those feelings. And it inspires me because he gets back up and he tries after nobody thinks that he can do it. He does it. And what he was saying in that, and I knew, he is saying that I'm learning about human nature. I'm learning about me. This story has inspired me to try harder, to get back up. And it's let me know that I'm not alone, that this is part of being human. And that's what stories do, or that's what stories can do for us and for our children. They're very powerful. And I think God made us that way. You know, think about the Bible. Yes, there are a lot of commandments, but it's mostly stories. No, it's the story of life. It's the story of mankind. You know, there's so many stories, starting from Genesis, going all the way to the New Testament. There's so many stories. And I think God, he wants to tell the story. And we can teach our children so much more effectively when we add stories into the equation. You know, by nature, mamas and daddies, but parents want to give their children the best. You know, that's just how God made us. You know, God said, you know, which of you, if his son asked for a loaf of bread, would give him a stone. And he says, so if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? He made it known, I know that you want to give good gifts to your children. That's just human nature. And so we want to teach our children the best. We want to give them the best start we can. You know, and for me, that was making sure that they knew truth, and making sure that they understood who God is and what He wants for them and what it looks like to be a Christian. Now, our example is a wonderful way to teach them. You know, living before them, being the person that we want them to be, even with the bumps and bruises, even with the mistakes, because they're going to make mistakes and they need to see what you do when you make a mistake. And teaching them, explicitly teaching them, saying, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. That's wonderful. But when we can add that element of story in there and show them these are people who did well. These are people who finished well. These are people who worked hard. And these are people who fell and got back up. Then it forms in their mind an image of the person they want to be. And it gives them something to go after. And I encourage you, find good stories for your children. Now, we homeschooled, which gave us a little advantage in having time for stories, but people have been reading aloud to kids for centuries. So it's not a homeschool thing. It's a tool. It's a lifestyle thing. It's a tool that you can use to get good things into their minds, into their brains, that you can paint pictures for them that will take them so far. You know, I searched out when my kids were little, the best books, the best stories. I mean, we had some duds, right? We had some that we didn't finish. We thought, well, I don't even care about the end of this story. I just want it to be over. But we found some gems. And those stories developed in them a desire to be courageous, a desire to be brave, a desire to be honest and be giving and kind and generous and wise and have understanding. See, there's something about a hero tale that it stirs something inside of us. Now, right now, I'm reading with Caleb the story of Beowulf, which is the oldest English epic. And there's a reason that it has survived, that it has stood the test of time, because it's a really good story. And I'm reading him a student's version. I'm certainly not reading him the original, but the story is captivating. You know, he says, I will do this. I will be brave. I don't care if I die. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to rule well. He was a king and he ruled well. And so, you know, as I read that, as I've been reading that with him, I've just thought, this is so good. This encourages me that when things don't go the way I want them to today, that I will be courageous. I will keep on doing the right things, even when it feels like I'm losing. You know, I will do this with a good attitude. And so these things, as I read them to them, they it's like they flow over on me. Also, you know, stories teach our children wisdom. They teach them about human nature. You know, we don't want to send our kids out into the world naive and trusting everybody. That's why there are dragons in the stories, right? You know, I'm reading with him now about how Beowulf slays the dragon. There are dragons out there, and our children need to be prepared for that. They need to know everybody's not after their good. Everybody's not looking out for them. And I don't want them to. I don't want to paint a picture of the world for them that's perfect and where everybody just wants to get along, because that's not the world they're going into. But I want them to also develop godly character, but go into the world with their eyes open. And I have found that putting good literature before them, putting good movies, putting good stories before them, people who have gone before them, true stories and fictional stories, has really been a blessing for our family. See, a good story doesn't moralize. It doesn't take a truth and make it shiny and say, you know, do this and everything will work out right, and don't do this and everything will work out wrong. It shows you the good and the bad. It shows you that always go for the good, even when it's not easy. Even when you have no promise that everything's going to work out perfect, we do what's right because it's right. And yes, there's a reward for living right, but that reward may not be in this life. I want my children to be like the righteous man in Psalm 1, where it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers." I want them to be that kind of person who is planted on solid ground, who drinks and meditates on God's word day and night, who loves the lovely things. See, I want them to love those things that are good. I want them to be drawn to the things that are, like it talks about in Philippians, that are honorable, and they're noble, and that are of a good report. I want those to be the things that they're drawn to rather than the things of the world. And when we show them, there are so many examples of people who have gone before them who have done well. You know, one of the things that I love to share, or I have loved to read to my children, are missionary tales. We've read about so many missionaries. And I learn in the process. There are whole series about missionaries, about early saints who died for their faith, who went bravely to cultures they knew nothing about, and who gave up their lives because they loved those people and they loved God and they were obeying God. We need to show them that that's honorable. That's admirable. And I've heard people say, "Well, I don't want to tell them about those stories because what if God calls them to other countries?" Well, let me tell you something. If God called them, you want them to go. Worst thing you can do is hold them back. Send them forth in faith, and God will take care of them if they're where they're supposed to be. But God wants to do that inside of their hearts. You know, I remember years ago when one of my kids had speech therapy. And so every week, all of us had to load up and travel. I found an audio version of Pilgrim's Progress, and it was dramatized. And we listened to that, and it was so good. And I learned, you know, I remember during that time I was going through some things and just listening to those words about how Christian did not give up, how he kept on going, how he faced obstacles and he put his trust in God. That encouraged me to keep on going, to put my trust in God. And it's such a good story. And even today they'll reference that. They'll say, "Remember when Christian did this? You know, remember when he lost his burden at the cross?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I do remember that. That was so good." See, it's in their brain. It's part of how they operate. Also, we're not going to be with them always. If they're always looking to us to tell them what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, then they're going to be in trouble when they leave our home and they haven't developed their own sense of morality, their own ability to distinguish right from wrong, then they're going to be in trouble. But see, when we introduce them to these stories, it helps them to gather in their own mind what is correct, what is the right way to think. And we want them to do that. Even imperfectly, we want them to start taking ownership of their own choices. And we want them to think about these things for themselves. And we don't want to just give them the answers. We want that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is learning how to take the information and make wise choices from the information that's around us, from the situation that we're in. And that's a skill. And those things take time. And so if we're always telling them the answer, if we're always, you know, saying, "Oh, do this, do that," then they're never learning for themselves how to do that. I started my boys out on simple short stories because they had short attention spans. You know, this simple, we would start on like the simple Bible stories where it's just one page. And, you know, we could do that in one sitting in just 5 minutes. But it got them used to sitting for longer periods of time. And I always tried to make it fun because, you know, I wanted them to always see reading together as a blessing and not a chore. And one of the other books that we always started with was the book of Aesop's Fables. And you know the little fables, you know, they have like the fox and the grapes and the tortoise and the hare, those stories. And at the end, it would always have the moral. You know, the moral of this story is, well, I wouldn't tell them the moral. We would read the story and I would say, now, what is the moral of this story? Because see, that is helping them to take a story and make it their own. And it's not me telling them this means this and this means that. But I'll tell you a funny story with that. I was reading that book with my youngest son, Caleb. We read the story of the boy who cried wolf. And after, you know, we read that story, I said, now, Caleb, what is the moral of this story? And he said, come when you're called, no matter how many times. And it is one of those times where you try not to laugh, but it's hard to hold it in. I said, good job, Caleb. So, you know, I didn't tell him he was wrong because he wasn't wrong. That's what he got from that story. Now, I will say he has always been the quickest to obey. You know, that's how we use stories. And I could go on and on forever. There are so many good ones out there. And I encourage you, inspire your children with stories about real people who have done great things, with fictional stories that have been passed down for many, many years. They've been passed down for a reason because they're really good. And, you know, and find things that encourage you. You'll be amazed at how much they encourage your children. And we didn't always do serious things. I mean, we have to sprinkle some silly in there for little ones, you know, just to make it fun. Sometimes you have to sprinkle some silly things in there. And we did that because I wanted them to see reading as something we get to do, right? And I will say this, that over the years, as my children have grown, and I'm about in just a few months to have 3 teenagers, we have moved more towards movies than books because it's not as cool now to sit down with your mom and read aloud. And I hate that, but it's just the truth, right? But I see the foundation that has been laid over the years of filling their minds with the things that are good and lovely and of a good report. And I encourage you to do that and let it be your tool and let it help you in your work. And before we go today, I just want to say a prayer for you. Father, I thank you for my sisters out there that are doing the work. They're doing your work. And Lord, it's good work, but it can be so trying sometimes. Lord, I pray today for encouragement for them, that they would know that you're with them, that you're for them, that, Lord God, that you're cheering them on, that you're not, Lord God, looking for fault, but Lord, you're looking to help them. I ask you to help them to find good stories to put into their hearts and minds of their children. God, stories that will encourage them to be the people that you've created them to be, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to set our eyes on the things above, to trust you, Lord, that as we put the good things before our children, that you would help them to love those things, to love those things that are lovely. And Lord, we love you and we just celebrate you today and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you've enjoyed this episode today and will join me here again next week. You can find more encouragement on my blog at gracefromahome.com. God bless. Bye-bye.